Welcome to Identity Church Sunday Morning Message, where sonship is revealed. Stay tuned at the end of this message to receive more information about resources available through Identity Church. Now grab your Bible, sit back, and enjoy a message from Identity Church that is already in progress.
My dad is in assisted living now. I had to go talk to him and tell him that it was going to be more permanent than he wanted. I got elected. The siblings are like, "We ain't telling him." He says, "I don't like this place." I'm like, "Too bad." I went into the dining room the other day, and those people all looked dead. I said, "Have you looked in the mirror lately? You're 92, Pops." He goes, "They're just lifeless." I said, "Then why don't you go change it?" So he rolls up in there, all them dead people, and he starts singing hymns out loud. And they all clapped. And they went back to their oatmeal. Yeah. And he went to another little thing for veterans, and they were talking some rough veteran stuff that, you know, some stuff on sex and stuff. And I'm like, "That's why they call them dirty old men. Why don't you change it? Why don't you change it?" I said, "You're 92 years old. You've preached in the prison system." I said, "But let me tell you something. Even in the prison, they were all Christians coming to you. When are you going to get in the world and change it?" I said, "I hate to tell you, I'm going to sell your car and buy you a scooter. And I'm going to sell your house and keep the money." He goes, "Really?" I said, "You're not moving back to your house, Dad. You need to make this work." "Well, what if I don't like it?" I said, "You ain't got another option. It's time to grow up." You know how hard that is to do? It's time to grow up. And I basically challenged him in some areas that have many times had been strengths in his life. Today's message is called Bones, Cartilage, and Tendons. When you're born, you're born with 300 bones. By the time you become an adult, you have 206 bones. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 45 and 46, thus it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a living, life-giving spirit. But it is not the spiritual that is first, but the natural, and then the spiritual. I preached part of this message last week in New York, and to a friend of mine's church that is going through a building program, and the structure has changed in their church, and there are some frustrated people. Can I get a witness? Amen. Been married 38 years. There's times of frustration. Why? Because... And the wife is amen corner over here. See, the problem is we think marriage is a convenience. No, marriage is a death sentence, because you're supposed to die on who you are. He's supposed to die on who he is and become who Christ said you were. Do I need to do that again? Marriage was designed to kill you and let him raise you up into him. Susie, have you enjoyed the death process? Has it been beneficial? There we go. We have the seal of approval from the wife. So as I did a demonstration, I actually had a chiropractor come and actually do a physical adjustment on the platform. And I said to her, "Oh, I'm stiff in my neck. I always have stress and blah, blah, blah." And so I did the spiritual, the natural first. I said, "How come I'm always..." She says, "Because you have stress. You're a worry wart." Now she's going, and the problem is you're supposed to have the mind of Christ. And she cracks my neck, and I'm like, "Oh, that's good." And she's mic'd up, and I've got a mic. And then she says, "So what's wrong with your shoulder?" I said, "Well, I fell off a loading dock 15, 18 years ago and never actually rehabbed it." "Oh, so you didn't do what the doctor told you to do 20 years ago, and now you're a leader in the church with a wound, and now you're trying to hide it." I paid her for that. Now, listen, I don't mess with my shoulder. It hurts. And she publicly yanked on that thing. And she said, listen, you're going to need some special attention on this. And I said, some of the leadership needs to go through deliverance. See, it's the shoulder that holds the government of God. And some of us in leadership have not finished our healing processes, and therefore God cannot really put the weight of his kingdom on us. And I don't care what stage of leadership you're in. So then she went to why my lower back hurts. Listen, if you wanted to preach, grab a microphone. Yeah. So I said, how come my lower back hurts? And she says something like this. She says, have you ever seen an 8 or 9 month pregnant woman complain about her lower back? I said, yeah. She goes, you look pregnant. Yeah. Yeah, I did pay. Yeah, I paid her extra. And so she starts, actually, I mean, she got all over me and did the cracked me up, man. See, the problem is we can't carry our natural weight, but we want to carry the weight of the Lord. Two weeks ago, I was sitting at Palm Garden Rehab Center, moving my dad to where the place was, and I went behind the building and I had a moment. You ever had a moment that you knew you'd been there before? I had a moment. The moment was standing on the sidewalk waiting for my sister to come from Sarasota with my mother, who had had a stroke, had heart surgery and had a stroke and had not spoken in 3 weeks. Is that for me or them? Dang, that was a good word. See, I get paid a lot when I preach good. My mother had not spoken in 3 weeks. The last word she had said to me, she said, I went to heaven, I saw who you were. I saw the gift of God on your life. And she said, it's about your father. If you don't learn to do war with honor, you will never earn his respect, and therefore he'll never serve you. It was 1997. She says, God said he's going to try to destroy the gift of God you carry, but with the day that you prove to him that what you carry is from God, he'll serve you. That has happened. So 2 weeks ago, I'm standing on this sidewalk, and I remember 1997. My sisters are driving down the road, took my Lincoln to make it the ride better. She hadn't spoken in 3 weeks. Two sisters in the car. Couldn't be one, because then you can say, I don't believe it. But when two hear this, she hasn't spoken in 3 weeks. She looks at me on the corner, looks at my two sisters, and says, oh, my God, he's going to be a fat preacher. Tell that boy no one listens to fat preachers. Lose some weight. She died the next day. So what am I saying? I'm saying that I make bad food choices and exercise choices. That's calling the kettle black here. There. What am I saying? There is an effect of what you do in the natural that affects the spiritual. The fruit of the Spirit is self-control. And as I did the message last week, and I'm doing it now, some of this is just not walking with Jesus. You'd rather walk with a pizza or an apple pie. Or Susan will bring you candy every Sunday morning. She's my dealer. What you do in the natural does affect the spiritual. But I'm telling you, what you do in the spiritual will empower you to change the natural. We're supposed to bring heaven to earth. My question is, you've been in heaven and seen yourself in heaven? Are you fat there? That's what the Lord said to me. I said, no, I'm actually in pretty good shape. He said, then why don't you bring heaven to earth and get back in shape? I says, if I preach this in front of my wife, I will. She's going to nag me to death. I'm not there yet. She's right. So what am I asking for? Grace. I need grace in the natural. But I'm telling you that as God releases grace, he puts structures and things in place. This whole message is messed up. Yeah. This morning in prayer, I was sitting in prayer and we're praying, oh Lord Jesus, help the kids in Haiti. Oh Lord Jesus, and prayer teams in there praying. And the Lord said, what did I speak to you this morning when you woke up? He said, communication with God is not necessarily a connection with him. I went, ooh. We're walking around the prayer room. We're going to howl. Thank you, Jesus. We're praying. We're communicating. But I'm telling you, there was no connection for me. And I recognize that this is a spiritual life. And everybody in there said the same thing. And I said to Miriam, I said, listen, would you do me a favor? What? Pray in Spanish. I didn't understand a word she did, but God showed up. So is it communication or connection you're looking for? Was that just tangible? It was like, whew, he walked in the room. And I don't understand anything she said, but my spirit man rejoiced because the one I worship showed up. So is it communication or connection we're looking for? See, the connection may be the single mom. You know, my history is I hate the spirit of religion. I was born and raised in a strong spiritual church that was Pentecostal, hair bun, the whole nine yards. We weren't allowed to go to movies. We weren't allowed to do dances. We weren't allowed to do anything. So I did everything that I wasn't allowed. I figured if I'm going to hell, I'm taking everybody with me. And I was good at it. But one day he walked through the wall. And I had a connection. I quit cheating on my wife because I wasn't afraid of my wife anymore. I had a reverence fear of God. So the Lord says to me, you have a tendency to lean toward rebellion. But I've used it. But now I want to make an adjustment, just like the chiropractor, make an adjustment. And he started talking to me about bones. In my physical body, bones is a structure. And because I have always kind of put religious, spirit of religion to structure, I called it control. Anybody done that? Oh, they're trying to control me. No, they're trying to get you to quit coloring outside the lines. And so the Lord started messing with me about I'm in the structure. What you've been doing here at Identity Church is basically I'm rebuilding everything. We're putting the fivefold ministry in place. We sat people in place today. We're restructuring how this body functions. He's trying to restructure this body, but you know, I get good messages, you know. But the bottom line is that God started showing me that in my rebelliousness, that I lean toward rebelliousness because I hate religion, I've missed the value of structure. Just like I've made fun of my wife because she's an intense bicycle boot camp exerciser. Who wants that? Not me, but I need that, and I don't make time for that, and then I complain that I'm overweight. This is going well, isn't it? And all the fat people went, hallelujah. Huh? Yeah, confession is good for the soul. One of my spiritual sons that I walked with for many, many years actually put him in place, laid hands on him, and gave him the responsibility of my New York ministry. The Lord would show me the father-son paradigm in that season. And he says to me, how many promises have I made for you in Western New York? I have prophecy after prophecy. He says, do you believe in the father-son paradigm? I said, yes, I do. And at 6 o'clock in the morning, I left my sister's house. He had moved into Western New York. I knocked on the door and I said, listen, I put him in a chair and I laid hands on him. I said, God told me to give you everything that I've accomplished, everything I've done for the last 20 years in Western New York. And I laid hands on him. I said, as a spiritual son of mine, everything I've got, run with it. Within 18 months, he had pulled off 3 tent meetings in 3 different cities. What hurt me the most is he said to me one day, he says, I don't want you to come to these meetings. I said, why? And he says, it's my time to shine. And you're such a dominating personality, you would take it off me. I went, okay. I'm like, okay, what's going on here, God? He goes, give him his wishes. That hurt. That stung. But God said, let him have what he wants. And he bought a building. He was doing some things. And long and short of it, he crashed. He crashed in such an ungodly way. I couldn't walk with him anymore. He didn't understand his boundaries. He didn't understand his walk with God. There was a window that he could have repented and recovered. Instead, he chose to blame me because I was putting my finger on some things in his life. In our conversation before we separated, he says to me, he says, I'm not like you. I don't have a leadership team like you do that can tell me what to do. You've turned religious. And he proceeded to fall off the turnip truck. I cried for 3 days. That was a personal attack against me. It was a personal attack because I've put elders around me. This elder team that's here, I have given them authority. And I believe that they're there because they can hear God. So I have to trust them. See, as when you're on the edge, sometimes you have blind spots. And I don't know if you realize a blind spot you can't see, but you need somebody that can and will tell you that this is blind. And you know what? Chris Vallotton preached a message is how to be deceived proof is trust somebody else more than you trust yourself. But if you don't have enough heart relationship with somebody, you're not going to. But he attacked that in my life. I cried for 3 days. He hurt me. He, you know, when someone goes after you to hurt you, the best way to hurt you is twist the truth. And he did. He stuck it in my heart. And I cried for 3 days. Wept for 3 days. And after 3 days, the Lord said to me, he says, why did that hurt so much? I said, I don't know. You're God. Why don't you explain it? He says, you know why that attack hurt so much? Why? He says, because he attacked you in the area you've attacked others. You've accused other people of being religious, when the only thing they were doing was submitting to a system for their own safety. Would you rather be him right now with his marriage falling apart and his ministry falling apart, or you hanging out with your little welders? I said, I like my elders. My marriage is intact. My ministry is intact. And I repented for accusing people that submitted to a system as being religious. So I'm preaching about bones and structure last Sunday night. Guess who shows up to my meeting with his new wife and his new baby? He's trying to re-engage again. And I had to say to myself, I like the bones. I'm not abandoning the structure that God has told me to walk in. There's still room if you want to come back. Bones are not negotiable. Absolutes are not negotiable. God is strengthening the absolutes in his body so he can release the weight of his glory on it. You can't put weight on cartilage. They have to be bones. So in my revelation of the structure and restructuring that we've been doing here, I'm anticipating that to come together. And some of this we're doing today with Anthony and Christy and others and putting restructuring. Why? It's to facilitate the weight of God, the government of God, to rest on us. The morning of the revelation, he says to me, he says, do you get the revelation? I said, I think I do, God. He said, I don't think you value it, though. I says, what do you mean? If the bones in the body are the structure, I'm in that, and I'll protect it. He says, listen, even in my own crucifixion, I did not let them break one of my bones. And the light bulb goes off. If I will stay within the structure of the bones that God has put, that actually is my place of protection. In the structure. Now, you're going to battle religious spirits, don't get me wrong. Those things will happen. If you've been saved more than 2 weeks, the religious spirit will come in and do it. You have to discern that. But what lie you believe is what lie what will empower you. Ephesians 4, 15 and 16. Rather speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up into every way into him who is the head. Grow up into who? Him who is the head, unto Christ, for whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped. When each part is working properly, it makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. We heard love. Listen. So there's this crisis. There's this crisis in me that now I have to be friends with him again. And dumb Charlie likes to tell God what he thinks. I said, okay, God. Doesn't mean I'll trust him. Anybody ever done that? I'll re-engage, but I ain't trusting him. And the Lord says, I thought you were a more mature bone than that. I said, what? I thought you were a more mature bone than to give me that excuse. So are you telling me as God that I shouldn't have sent him to you? I thought I could trust you with him, and now you don't trust him with me. God flips it upside down all the time. So how strong of a bone are you? Are you his bone or are you your own bone? Do you rest on his principles or your principles? He says to me, if I'm sending you back into this relationship, if I sent him to you, you didn't go looking for him because you would have. And I've asked him, do you want me to go find him? I'll find him. You want me to go love him? I'll love him. And he goes, I sent him to you because I trust you that you'll love him. Because right now he doesn't love himself. But Lord, this thing happened and it was public. Yeah, and so will your love be. I can give a list of why not. The question is, are you mature enough? Charlie, Brad, Ron, Susie, just change the name. Are you mature enough to know that God says, engage and take the gamble. I won't let him break any bones. Even though he may hurt you, he may not understand the process of this, I'll protect you. But Lord, I don't want to. I says, yeah, I know you don't really trust me. You're worried about your reputation. Can God really trust us with restoring the broken, restoring the lost, restoring the fallen? What do you hear? I just got 6 more sermons. I don't know what you got. He just said to me, if you're willing to stand up and be one of my bones, I can send other bones to you. And I can help them connect and get healed. Where you're weak, they'll be strong. I'm hovering over the chaos in my house. I'm hovering over the chaos in the church corporately. And I'm going to bring them back into oneness with me, says the Lord. In the last 6 months, God has really anchored down bone structure with me. And he has separated what is cartilage. And he's been separating what is tendons. Those are all necessities. And the greatest mistake you can make is try to put the requirement of a bone on a cartilage. It'll never hold up. You got to know what is cartilage and what is bone. You have to know what is tendon and what is not cartilage. Is there enough structure here for single moms to come in and find the structure of a family that they need the most, and support, spiritual protection, spiritually and physically? Are we that mature enough of a body? To help the process of someone coming in and barely being a tendon, mature into cartilage, and find the areas that their bones are strong, and they know where to connect, and stay connected. Hope you're getting something, because I'm angry with God. I'm like, why'd you mess up a good message today, God? I have to trust that he's talking to you, because he just messed me up. You know, three types of people in your life. You have bones, cartilage, and tendons. The bones are in relationship with you because they need you. They're about you. They're connected to you. And it says every joint supply. You got to find the bone relationships. I'm going from corporate structure, I'm going to individual relationships now. There's people that are bones, they give to you. They're in relationship with you because of you. If you go to hell in a handbasket, they go with you. You got to have some of those people in your life. It's like Jonathan and David. David needed Jonathan because he was raised outside the wall, and he needed Jonathan to teach him what to do inside the wall. That's a bone relationship. Then you have cartilage. They're only in relationship with you because you have a common cause. Common cause. But as soon as they find somebody else that would help them get their cause, they'll leave you. That's going to happen. If you get bitter, you'll never get better. So quit putting a bone requirement on a cartilage. Cartilage comes and cartilage goes. The tendon, which is the mechanism that holds the muscle, the strength, has a total different protocol than bones and cartilage. The tendon only comes and connects to you because you have a common enemy. Not a common cause, a common enemy. He won't survive without connecting with you. And once that victory's won, oh, I came to you because crack is, you know, drugs are destroying me, or alcohol is destroying me. And you come, and they come in here because of the common, and they defeat that. Then they're gone. And if you put the requirement of cartilage and bone on that person, you're going to wind up depressed and look around and blame God. Well, how come you send people and they're gone? There was only tendons, baby. They came into this house for relief. They didn't come in here to be a bone to you for the rest of your life. They didn't come in here to be a cartilage to learn a skill set of preaching, to learn a skill set of prophesying. They just came because without you, they're going to be destroyed. So they come in for a short season. And if you don't recognize that relationship versus the cartilage relationship versus the bone, we wind up getting mad at God. And this revelation comes sitting in a hotel in New York. He says, when you make covenant with him before he screwed up, was he a bone then? I said, yeah, he's still a bone. I'll go reconnect. See, the things about bones don't get away from not being bones. Sometimes you separate a shoulder. Sometimes you separate something. But you know that you're never going to get healed without reconnecting properly. I'm going to say this. Covenant is not convenient. Covenant is not convenient. Anybody married in the place? Susie, put both your hands down. But it's beneficial to your health, spiritually, emotionally. Some of you will never get to your destiny without finding your Jonathan, the one who knows the protocol in the palace, because you were raised outside the wall.
But God is saying, go connect, go connect. But I don't talk their language. I know they have a new language for you. They have a new protocol for you. They've got something to give you. I'm putting you into relationship with a bone because it's about you. It's not about your ministry. It's about you. Ministry is a byproduct of that kind of covenant relationship. Bone upon bone. Time to do some evaluating. Some of our prides and our egos, we can publicly puff it up and say, oh, I'm a bone here. I can prophesy this. I can do that. But you're doing it from the position that you earned, not the authority you actually have. You've lost your seat in heaven where it really counts. And now you're operating from familiarity. In other words, you still have communication, you have no connection.
Thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church. To know more about us, go to identitychurch.net, where you'll find resources such as a calendar, media, and upcoming events. You may also download an app for your mobile device from the Apple App Store or Google Play. Then from your mobile device, you can hear our messages. Read from the Bible, take notes, connect with us on the social media, and even pay your tithe. Again, thank you for tuning into today's message from Identity Church.